Good Saturday morning to you, and welcome to Flashpoint Healthcare Solutions Radio Show, along with Steve Glick, Chief Administrative Officer for Chamber Insurance Trust. I'm Gary Byron. Steve, good morning, buddy. How you been?
Oh, what a great day it is today.
Look at how you are dressed. Wow, you look dapper. Yeah, I've heard of Dapper Dan. This is Dapper Glick.
Holy taken out these clothes in over a year. I didn't even know I had a sport jacket before. It is different. It is different. I welcome the new life we're all living.
You got that right. But not only the new life, but the new weather that we're having.
Yes.
Right? It's been one heck of a week as far as the weather's concerned. Been all over the temperature gauge here. One day it's 95 degrees. Another day it's just, it's 80. And another day it's just in the 70s. But
That makes us tough people in Connecticut. I'm proud to be a Connecticut resident because I'm tough.
It's funny that you say that because it wasn't all that long ago. I think it was like in April, late April or early May. I was talking to somebody about how it was like 85 degrees one day, and then like 2 days later, there were actually snow flurries early in the morning. You remember this, right? It was either
Absolutely.
Late April or early May. And I said, that's what makes New Englanders tough. I used the exact same word that you did. So how was your week?
My week was great. And I was excited about our next guest. Because years ago, he was a broadcaster, and I worked with him on some projects that he put together, and we involved ourselves with the community. So the idea of what we're doing here today is a flashback to what I did with Ray. So I'm so thrilled that both of you guys are meeting each other. Hopefully you will meet each other face to face one day.
He is the executive director at the Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce. Let's welcome to the show Ray Andrewson. Ray, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. It's great to be with you here. And Steve, it's great to be with you. I wish I were in studio today so I could see the sartorially splendid Steve Glick with his sport coat and coming out with beautiful clothing. I mean, we're sort of like...
My new name is Bo Brummel.
He's got like this seersucker blazer on. He's looking with a nice pink button down. So he's looking, if not anything, but the sign of the season, I guess. It's just, he's got early summer written all over him.
Well, just remember, there's a seersucker born every minute.
Hey, I want to ask you, now that we're kind of coming out of this weird kind of, I don't know, pandemic, whatever, what is the current state of the Connecticut business climate from the perspective of an executive director of a chamber?
Well, Gary, it's interesting. This has been a tremendous challenge the last year and a half. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And we're now evolving into what will be a transformation in the workplace, the workforce, and in the economy itself.
Mm-hmm.
What I've witnessed since becoming executive director of the Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce, which encompasses the Wallingford, North Haven communities, but also previous to that, serving for well over a year as the Director of Membership Services for the Greater New Haven Chamber of Commerce, our affiliate chamber in the city, is that we really don't quite have a complete 100% grasp on what just happened to us. It's been a year where we've had to readapt to how we meet and do business,
sure,
where we do business, because so many of our workers are now working remotely, how we can continue to keep the supply chains for manufacturing, industries that really are global in many ways, and how those supply chains have been dramatically disrupted in some places, and how that's impacted the ability to free commerce up and trade. We're really not sure how this will impact niche businesses. We know restaurants have been very much impacted. We had really kind of developed a restaurant culture over decades where people were very accustomed to having takeout or dine-in food over that period of time. And, of course, that was disrupted. How healthcare services have been delivered and how people are able to access elective surgeries. You know, we know the hospitals and the healthcare groups have really struggled. And I'm sure, Steve, you can speak to that issue very eloquently. you know, where elective surgeries now are just being performed that were put off by a year, and that has other repercussions on manufacturers who provide medical supplies. Hmm. You know, if you're not doing surgeries, you don't need those supplies.
Right, right.
As a result of that, we really haven't come full circle yet to completely understand where we're going to be 6 months to a year. However, what we are seeing emerging this year, and it is true, is growing business confidence. We're starting to see a reemergence of what I would call appreciation for neighbor business, small business to small business, actually acknowledging those businesses and patronizing those businesses, mm-hmm. and a real movement to that. It sort of belies the Amazon model of bringing your business to someone's doorstep. That worked a lot in the last year, but I think just like Zoom meetings.
Right. It's going to go on the wayside eventually.
Yeah, exactly. I think we're getting a little tired of some of that. So I think we're seeing a positive swing. We're seeing a modest but good growth in membership. We're also seeing, and I'd love to pick up on this as well, a increasingly diverse, equitable, and inclusive economy, where there's an understanding of that. You can't really have a strong economy unless you have a strong, healthy community that represents the entire community.
Well, to that point, then, what does a local, like Main Street type Chamber of Commerce do on behalf of its members, then?
Well, we obviously started with a model of, the classic Chamber of Commerce model of in-person networking, in-person events, being able to provide those platforms for everyone. And, of course, we have websites online, you know, affinity programs, so on and so forth. So the classic model still exists in many ways. We're delivering right now with information. What chambers of commerce are doing now is we're no longer just the platform or the networking, you know, facility. We're not just the meeting group and, you know, here's your 5 o'clock networking glass of wine. You know, here's your 8 o'clock coffee and pastries. You know, we've gotten away from that entirely in terms of that as a core part of the business model. What we need to be is community minded, and we have evolved into that with a real growth in webinars and information dissemination. Last spring, we learned this pretty quickly in March of 2020. In 2020, of course, always being hindsight. Mm-hmm. We looked back last year, and I'll tell you, Gary, it's interesting. We didn't know what we were getting into at that point, but we knew that we had to be a news bureau for business. So we got Senator Blumenthal, Senator Murphy, Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro, other state lawmakers, Governor Lamont, but also not just high-profile lawmakers, but state officials and federal officials to walk our businesses through PPP, EIDL, and relief programs. We were able to provide platforms where our membership and the wider community could ask questions. It was complicated, and we realized that we had to be an information source, a newsroom, if you will, and an accessible newsroom so that people can get this qualified information to help their business, but also, frankly, to create business education. You know, we all think that business is somebody else. You know, I have a small machine shop. I have a insurance agency. You know, I'm a Main Street one shingle attorney. But we all have our ways of providing for ourselves and doing business. And it is our livelihoods. Mm. We need to work. We need to generate income. And the sympathetic response I would have to people who think that business is sort of an otherworldly experience is it's us. I mean, we have our own jobs. We have our own work. And we need to nurture that and grow our business so that we are taking care of ourselves and we have products and we have the connectivity so that we can take care of our neighbors. Our neighbors are in business as well. So when we say business community, those two words are capitalized. What we've learned this past year is it's about business, but it's also about community.
What do you think, though, the whole coronavirus experience, it lasted well over a year. And there were businesses that sadly folded. And by the way, these were not just startups. I mean, some of the businesses, the small mom and pop businesses, have been around for generations. And it's very heartbreaking to to know that they had to finally close their doors after you know, decades and decades of being thriving in business. And then there's other companies that just downsized greatly. We're seeing a lot of business that used to take place in the cities move into suburbs. And I'm speaking specifically in Hartford, where I know businesses that just moved up the road across the border because the people that used to work every day in corporate America in some of the big buildings in downtown Hartford were told to work at home. What do you think the COVID specifically did to our state's economy? And, you know, maybe you can piggyback on that and talk about some of the true pain points for the businesses during that time.
Well, I must say, you know, coming out of COVID, it is in a way symbolic of previous historical challenges to economy, and ironically, around a pandemic in 1918, what was called the Spanish flu, and World War I had a dramatic impact on U.S. economy as well. Obviously, evolving from that Great Depression, World War II, with expansion of manufacturing and incorporation of women into the workforce. Remember Rosie the Riveter. But post-World War II, the expansion of suburbs, the interstate highway system, which also impacted where people lived and where they did business, and how the shipping industry was no longer related and tied into just, you know, over water shipping. The railroad industry, commercial railroading in the 60s and 70s began to be challenged as there was more interstate trucking with the development of the interstate highway system in the 50s. And we can apply that with technology changes that we've seen. The fact that just this program and streaming radio, how broadcasting has changed and evolved and had been challenged over the last few years by the rising alternative technologies. That is exactly what happened with COVID. COVID broke open a few of the things that already were starting. They were beginning to happen. You know, the remote work is not something that just was discussed in the last year. I mean, this has been discussed for decades. Mm-hmm. And certainly with the changes in daycare, the changes of young families trying to raise, a family and dual wage earners within that family out of necessity in many cases, just trying to get the kids to school, how you navigate, the traditional 9-to-5 workforce, work day, I should say. All of these changes were starting. COVID just broke it open wide.
Well, it expedited things.
Yeah. Well, COVID really in Connecticut exposed in a sort of a Dickensian way the best of times and the worst of times. There are some businesses and some industries that are absolutely flourishing. I mean, biotech and research and development is doing very well. Manufacturing, despite some of the supply chain issues, is really doing well. The business is there. And we know, of course, that we've discussed some of the industries that may be not faring as well. So these trends were just blown wide open. And the interesting thing is, in Connecticut, and I want people to really understand this about Connecticut, we have a very good culture. And what I mean by that is this is a state where people are generally cooperative, understand and educate themselves very well on matters of health and civic engagement. And by and large, we already had accumulated wealth over many decades. We were already have been historically one of the wealthiest states. And as a result, we responded well to this COVID challenge. And businesses have done this. We've treated our workers kindly. And we have bonded together. We tend to be in the top two or three states in terms of vaccination rates. And vaccination is freedom. Vaccination means a return to the workforce. Vaccination means freedom of travel, freedom of association, all the things. If you really want to be free, that's what you need to do, is to make sure that you're vaccinated. So Connecticut is cooperative in nature. We may not think that every time we look over to the state capitol, but this state tends to go in that direction. And I think that's helped business interests. Also, in terms of what we do at the Chamber of Commerce, we extol that virtue because it's really not just about, low taxation, creating, a complete financially sound business economy. That's important. No question about that. But you need to live and play in the environment in which you do business, even in a global economy. So having a very, very good place to live, a very, very good place to recreate, the cultural amenities, and that includes restaurants, museums, state parks. I mean, I can't even think of how many state parks my wife and I have, new ones we've discovered around Connecticut in the last year and a half that we've never been to before. I mean, we have great assets right here in this state that frankly go unnoticed, I'm afraid to say. And I think for most businesses, it's not just about where is it going to be cheap to do my work. It's got to be the whole comprehensive package of where it is, what it is, and how it is.
Well, then to that point, where are we going in the future? What does the future? I mean, we've got rapidly changing technology. How do existing businesses navigate the future then?
Yeah, well, that, I don't have a crystal ball. I'm just an executive director of a Main Street Chamber of Commerce. And if I were to think of changes in other industries about 20 or 30 years ago, you know, there might have been a foreshadowing of change, but you can't say with complete assurance what is going to happen. So, Gary, I would say this. I would think that wherever there's really good education, where you have a educated and skilled workforce, you have a brighter future. Wherever you have quality communities, good schools, safety, cultural amenities, good libraries, good economic development commissions that are wise in how they use their land. When you have diversity, and I'm not just talking about a diversity of people, I'm talking about diversity as it relates to, you know, the environment. You know, do you have access to the ocean? Do you have access to, you know, to green space? Do you have good, healthy cities? That's very key to the future success of any place. You know, it's interesting. We're definitely a country of manifest destiny. You know, we want to be in a different location all the time. I think that tends to be the American way of life. You know, we're very unsettled where we are. We want to move somewhere else. So if someone's dissatisfied, say in Connecticut, they'll think, oh, I'm moving to Texas. You know, I'll move to Colorado. You know, I'll move to Florida. The grass is greener there. And a lot of people who move away, and this is interesting about Connecticut, they come back. We have a very high outflow of people, but we also have a very profound boomerang effect of inflow, people coming back and deciding, I want to be here. I like living in Connecticut. And I think, you know, for a state that does a lot of the small things well, we have to reinforce that among our business leadership, our government leaders, to make sure that they see the benefits and the beauty of being right here in this state.
I think it's harder to move back to Connecticut, though, nowadays, with incomes in other states not as high as it is here. It's easier to move out of the state of Connecticut than it is to move back into the state of Connecticut. Folks, you are listening to Flashpoint Healthcare Solutions Radio Show, along with Steve Glick. He is the Chief Administrator for Chamber Insurance Trust. I'm Gary Byron. Our guest this morning is the Executive Director for the Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce, Ray Andrewson. You know, you mentioned the word, Ray, of diversity, and I know you weren't just talking about diversity of people, but you're also talking about inclusion of taking into consideration the ocean and open space and being close to downtown and urban areas. You think this is the most important for business growth? And if so, how? How does that relate to business growth?
Well, it's a quality of life issue. And if you were to be in other places around the country, it's not to say that, you know, if you were in Indianapolis or Kansas City or Sacramento, that the quality of life here is superior. I you know, obviously I can't make such a statement. I mean, that's a subjective statement to make, where is the best quality of life. But if you have an infrastructure and you have the capacity to care and nurture that infrastructure, you'll do very well. I mean, in this state, the problems we've had, of course, have been you know, over expenditure over a period of time. We've spent a lot of money, probably thoughtlessly, without reinvestment in infrastructure, reinvestment in, you know, into being fiscally prudent, particularly as it comes with municipal pensions and so on and so forth. I'm probably not making everybody happy when I say this, but, you know, we're not fiscally responsible, and that's why the state has been struggling with taxation and revenue generation over the last 10 or 20 years. We were at a really beautiful point back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Connecticut was pretty much the top model for income and also for infrastructure, but we've struggled over a period of time. Yeah. So, you know, when I say inclusivity, it's really about people. It is about diversity in the workplace. It is understanding that if you have an unhealthy city, if you have high rates of crime, we do in pockets in this state. If you have, you know, communities that their main streets are not flourishing, if you also really don't invest in your transportation routes or your transportation infrastructure, have really quality airports, you're going to struggle. And that's a we thing. That's everyone. You can be in Union, Connecticut, and you can be in Bridgeport, Connecticut. And if you don't see common ground on repairing and investing in your state's infrastructure together, you will suffer.
Yeah. Joining a chamber of commerce, though, it can lead to accessing valuable affinity programs like group insurance programs. So describe why this is so important.
Well, first of all, if you're part of a chamber, you're part of a community, as I mentioned. And what communities present is the opportunity to do business within that network. And affinity programs, and Steve, you know very well about this, offer discounted rates and access to programs that are cost savings. And one of the big cost issues that we have is healthcare. That is front and center, the concern of many businesses. And it goes beyond the Affordable Care Act of 2012. If you were to move forward and look at, you know, being able to get somebody onboarded as an employee, offer them benefits for individuals or a family, for children, and have the flexibility and the cost savings for that individual business is discounted and down, it's lower, you're likely to extend that benefit to your employees. What are we hearing? Loud. I mean, Gary, it's loud and clear right now throughout Connecticut is, I can't attract good workers. I'm struggling. I need to find people for my business, but I can't get them on board. What would be a better hook? Well, is it hourly wages, free parking, gym privileges? What is it? Obviously, healthcare is a very major component in attracting workers who want to stay. And studies have shown, if you're in a business, it's not just about if you make $5,000 or $10,000 more a year as an employee. If you're getting the right vacation time, if you're getting the right, health care, if you're getting, tuition credits from your business, if you can help your employees with that, they'll be loyal to you because they will stay because those benefits are very important.
Well, it doesn't. It also doesn't help when the government in some ways are paying people to, you know, there's no incentivization for people to go back to work when the government is providing handouts, you know.
Well, I would say this, and I wouldn't call them handouts. I'd actually be a little kinder in terms of how I describe it, because I think most people are not returning to work because at the end of this COVID crisis, we were trying to take care of people through federal means of reimbursing them and extending unemployment benefits so that they were not affected.
Yeah.
It hasn't clearly aligned up with the needs in the workplace, though. So good intentions. And I think a rational person would say that, you know, if I'm only going to make $10,000 less, you know, not working, why would I work?
Yeah.
And I have things, I want to take care of my grandmother. You know, I want to be able to, you know, paint my house, whatever you can do with the free time that you haven't had a chance to do. So I think a lot of people are, you know, there's nothing bad about anybody not working in the sense of they're making a rational decision. If that is not there and they don't have that kind of reimbursement, obviously they will need to return to the workplace And we have heard that from business.
Well, sure. And it's our tax dollars, though, that are feeding that. You know, I talk to business owners like you do, and they're like, I just can't find good people. There's a gentleman I know is a friend of mine who owns a restaurant, and it's a thriving restaurant. It's doing exceptionally well, but now they have to close one day of the week. And he had been open for 7 days. And I'm like, why? He's I just can't find the help. And then I'll have a conversation on the radio. Somebody will call up the show and they're like, hey, listen, I can sit home and make more money at home than going out and getting a job. And I'm like, well, what about that feeling of fulfillment that you're contributing to something and you're part of a team and you're I'll make more money at home. And that's a sad narrative when we're hearing that. That's not what our nation was built on. You know, it's going out there into the workforce. I am running out of time. I want to thank you, though, for your time with us this morning. I want to bring Steve Glick back into things here as we wrap up the show. Sounds like you and Ray have quite an extensive background, and it's good to know that the insurance program is certainly an incentive to joining a chamber of commerce.
And very shortly, you're going to hear an expansion of this program because of the needs. But chambers of commerce are a resource, and that's what is missing.
Yeah.
People are out there alone. What Ray does and what the chamber that he represents does brings people together, becomes a resource for education and direction. That's what's missing out there. That's a value proposition that we all need to consider.
Yeah.
It's worth the small dollars to become a member of a chamber to gain so much more. We're going to save thousands of dollars.
You know what really resonated with me is that he's so right when he says it's not just about networking anymore. The chambers have been doing that for years. This is about being part of your community.
That's right.
And boy, I tell you, he hit the nail right on the head when he said that. Folks, I'd love to give you the website address for the Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce. It's www.quincham.com. It's QUINNCHAM. .com. I'd like to thank the Executive Director for Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce, Ray Anderson, as our guest here this morning. And for Steve Glick, he's also an easy guy to reach. He's got a toll-free number, 800-953-4467. Once again, toll-free, 800-953-4467. Check out his website, www.citrust.com. For Steve Glick, Chief Administrative Officer for Chamber Insurance Trust, I'm Gary Byron. Thank you so much for participating in the Flashpoint Healthcare Solutions Radio Show. Until next Saturday, have a good one, everybody. So long.